This is the MIA Podcast, Music, Idiots, and Alcohol, a Texas Radio 1 podcast. So put your big boy pants on, grab a frosty beverage, and get ready to laugh your ass off.
Howdy, folks. I am not Johnny Cash. Welcome to MIA. That's Music, Idiots, and Alcohol. Yes. That's right. Music, Idiots, and Alcohol. I am right here with Big Plush and Mudbug.
I'm right here.
Big Plush, that's our nickname for Jimmy.
Or you can call me Captain Cluck.
Captain Cluck.
Captain Cluck.
The man of many names. as if we all don't have many names.
I know. I've been called a lot worse.
I was fixing to say, Terry was calling me some last night. Oh, I'm sorry, Sweet Tea. She called me a few last night.
Not good names?
Some good, some bad. Okay. Depending on what moment you're in.
Okay.
They are what they are.
All right, so we'll go. Yeah. All right, there we go.
But like I said, we are Music, Idiots, and Alcohol.
Yep.
Blah, blah, alcohol. And I have had a few Twisted Teas,
folks. A few of them.
That's my beverage of choice. I can't make the opening sound tonight because we are at the table at Mably.
Yes. Oh, man. High five for not Johnny Cash.
High five. I said Woo! It right. High five. I said it properly. So we have a waitress / bartender bringing us beverages tonight.
Yeah.
And she opens them before she gets here. And they're in bottles, which I'm not accustomed to. But it's still Twisted Tea.
Yeah.
So, but here we are. We're at the table of Mably, downtown Conroe, Texas.
Love this
place.
If
you haven't been here and you're from here, then you need to visit. And if you're not from here, when you do visit here, you need to come visit here.
You need to come. And when you come out here, you need to let Mr. Frank Jackson know.
That's right.
That you heard about it on this podcast.
That's right.
So that you can kind of get he'll give you an attaboy.
Uh-huh.
Well, he won't get a discount or anything, but he'll give you an attaboy.
He won't even give us a discount.
He'll tell you the story about how he met us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That he might do.
He amazes me with that story.
Frank, but if you want to know the history of Conroe.
No, he's definitely the guy.
You want to know the history of Conroe, ask Frank whenever you're here. Matter of fact, when you come to the table at Mably, and you come up and you see Allison, if she's behind the bar, or whoever's behind the bar, ask him if Frank's here.
I can,
and then if you do tell, you ask Frank. Say, Frank, how did we meet? And he's going to tell you.
Yep.
He'll tell you the story of how y'all met. All right. Yep. And it's but you can ask him. You can ask him about the history of Conroe, and the dude can let you know some history of Conroe. That's for sure. The
only history I can give you is how the city where he got.
I would
name
say he's
began.
Full of Other it, but that's kind of not a good
Conroe
word.
History. Conroe history PhD.
he's incredible because he knows everything from. It's like he seems like he knows everything from beginning to now. You know, it's like I know like how it began, where he got a name, stuff like that, but. Everything in between that is like I just know little things.
That's crazy because I didn't even meet Frank Jackson until like 2 years ago, and I put a beer on my life.
I know, right?
Who the hell he was?
I had no idea who he was.
I'm like,
and we met him. Yeah, when after this place opened up, I guess
he could probably tell me came my history. I would even, but yeah, y'all moved here in 19. No.
I don't even remember how we knew this place was here. Did we was driving by one night or something? What?
It was probably Facebook.
Probably was Facebook.
The Book of Faces.
Probably somebody we knew was playing here, and that's how we found out.
I knew because I pulled into the Sonic. It's right next door.
And Bug's like, what's that?
And the music was loud. I couldn't even talk to the microphone at Sonic to let them know I was trying to
Since then.
I'm not lying, but that's how I knew there was music going on here, and I wanted to know what was happening. So I pulled out of Sonic and went around the corner. I was like, then I see there was some music and lights in there.
Like, man, I should have went there. They have better pizza.
Dude, the pizza here, I'm telling you right, the Toasted Pizza Company, oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's good. Oh, it's good stuff.
So good.
Anyway, it's good. It's like eating, I don't know, heaven with pepperoni on it.
Oh, and that's a spicy pepperoni, too,
man.
It's a good pepperoni.
But, let's see, what
MIA.
This feels a little weird because we're out of our element. So, because we are where we're doing this podcast with our audience, we have a studio audience, folks.
Yes.
Oh, wait. Never mind.
They all left. They were out there playing the chimes a while ago.
They're all out there waving at us right now.
Hey! At the table. Thank you.
Thank you all for sitting.
I think they all decided to go into where the AC is.
It's air conditioning inside. We're out here sweating.
If you notice, you looked in the windows, everyone is inside.
Yeah, except for us.
And we're sitting out here with empty tables.
And they're staring out the window at us.
I wonder what them guys is doing.
Who are those guys?
They should have recorded in here. It's much cooler.
Well, so we have the stage to ourselves.
Yes, we did
get a little warm. It's a little warm, but the sun's going down. It's cooling off. The crickets have quietened down a little bit.
A little bit.
They got really loud a few minutes ago, and I was like, oh, my God, I don't know if we can record over there.
Really loud.
I know the mosquitoes still don't care.
You said that sun's going down, and now I got that song stuck in my head.
Which song?
Sun's going down in a sleepy little town down around San Antone. China Grove. Hello, Doobie Brothers. Get with it, man.
I was over in left field. Sorry.
Left field. That's another song.
Yeah, I missed that. I missed that bus. Sorry.
Excuse me. Sorry.
Good grief.
I think I need another secondhand cigarette.
Yeah. You're the one that sat where you sat. You sat where you sat.
And you were wearing a snazzy little shirt there tonight, bro.
Hey, man,
Sundance is your spirit animal?
Shirt. Yeah, he's my Sundance. Sundance head is my spirit animal.
You should let Sundance know that. Not Johnny Cash's.
That's a great shirt. I love that, man.
I'm not Johnny Cash.
I got to get me MIA, one of those.
And, well, order it online. That way you can pay shipping, too. That way I don't feel so bad about the price.
Let's go see.
Probably better off to order the picture, and we have to put it on our own shirt.
I'm going to go and check out trouble for that. SundanceHead.com.
Yeah, SundanceHead.com,
and
folks.
And see what I can get this
and
t-shirt
you know, the cool thing is that Sundance, not only is he a singer and a songwriter and a country music artist and performs live and does all that stuff, he's also the artist for all his t-shirts, all his merchandise. That's his artwork. He is the artiste behind Sundance Head.
He's also.
So I guess he's not really behind Sundance Head. He is Sundance Head.
He is Sundance Head. So
and he's also from right here in Montgomery County, Texas.
Indeed. He's from the big city of Poulter.
Something like that. Something I think like he lives in New Canaan, but yeah. I
thought he was from. Is he from New Canaan?
I think
Poulter?
He lives in New Canaan, actually. So.
Well, Poulter, New Canaan.
I know he lives in East County, Montgomery County. He lives on the east side of Montgomery County.
Yeah.
How come he don't have his.
Overall 59.
If you want his merchandise, you got to show up for his show. That's what he
said. I guess so. I don't see anything on his website where you can buy merch.
Oh. Well, I guess you got to buy a ticket to
his
show.
All right, so Sundance, if you're listening.
Buy.
Well, as often as he plays shows, and you got plenty of opportunities to buy merchandise because he is.
Sundance,
he gigs five times a week.
Jimmy from Texas Radio 1 and MIA Podcast. Loves your music, bro. You need to hook a brother up.
Yeah, all of us at Tex Radio 1.
No, I'm not a quadruple.
We love
I'm a four.
Sundance Head. Sundance
is quadruple?
Awesome.
Quad. I'm no longer
actually,
a five. I'm a four.
Speaking of Sundance Head,
I'm talking right
now. We saw him right here in a show. Well, you weren't here, Jimmy.
I twerked.
That was not nigh that we're here. Not nigh.
That was you and... That
not
was you.
Nigh.
Not... It was...
Myself and... Mr. Not Johnny Cash was here.
So you can't say not was not here. Not was here.
Not. He was not. He was still not.
I heard it was a good show. I saw the pictures of Sundance. He was sweating his butt off.
It was very hot.
It was hot.
It was hot. Sundance was sweating.
Well, he lost a lot of weight compared from a few years ago. But yeah,
if I'm not mistaken, that was the 4th of July weekend, was it not? That was the 4th of July weekend.
Yes, the fireworks happened after the show, remember?
Yeah, the big flag hanging in the background. And, the American flag in the background, right here behind where you're sitting.
I don't know. Maybe.
Mr. Plush.
Yes.
Mr. Plush.
Mr. Plush. Heavy on the Mr.
Heavy on the plush.
I do remember the fireworks show was going on right here at the...
And that is actually where I bought the shirt.
Mm-hmm.
I bought it.
That's so we were all around that just to say that you got your shirt here.
There was another... Who was that guy that opened up for...
Bugs brought it up.
The guy that opened up for Sundance in that show? That young kid,
George Strait.
That was a good job there.
But Cannon Brand.
And it made me forget the guy's name. He was a great guy.
He was new. I'm just saying, but he was here. He opened up for Sundance in the show, and I don't remember who it was yet.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Aaron Watson.
Something Connor, I believe.
That sounds right.
Starts with a J. His first name starts with a J of something Connor. I don't know.
I ended up buying a shirt from him too.
Yes.
What?
Yeah, I don't know. There was a guy. The guy that opened up for Sundance.
Reno head. Connor?
No,
Reno. Okay.
He's a new. He's not a guy that's been around forever. He opened up for Sundance at this show.
Reno's new.
Okay.
Oh, he's sorry. New. Damn it.
Sorry, Reno. My bad.
My name's not Johnny K.
I was saying Reno is old school. I don't even. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know who Reno is. I'll figure it out though.
Oh my lord!
I'll get there.
Can't teach this boy nothing.
I don't remember the kid's name. I bought shirts from Sundance Head when he was here for the show at the table at Maidley.
Yes. Okay.
And that was like 4th of July weekend or whatever.
So, well, all right then.
That's where this shirt came from. That's why it's so awesome. I wore it. This is like the second time I've worn this shirt.
And it's so we did all that to say that's a really cool dang shirt.
Thank you.
I like it. Lots of colors.
Is that what I should say next time? Just say thanks.
Just say thank you and move on.
Just say thanks. What else you want to talk about?
Yeah, what's next?
So, you guys know who Stephen Curtis Chapman is?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, I do. Christian.
Yes. Christian, yes. Saddle up your horses.
The forever we got Christian
trail to blaze. Oh, man. Just had
singer, vocalist,
so many,
guy. Yeah.
So many Christian top one number ones or whatever, blah blah blah.
He was amazing. He's really good.
Is amazing. Great guy. Anyway, so I was actually invited by his good friend Ricky Skaggs to become the next member of the Grand Ole Opry. He is now a member of the Grand Ole Opry, Mr. Stephen Curtis Chapman.
Okay.
Yeah. Stephen Curtis Chapman. Man, I mean, Lord,
it's
son.
It's pretty neat. Do you music. Think it's...
Well, he's been around forever.
Because,
oh, right? He's been around for a long time.
I don't really...
Had he been around almost as long as I've been alive?
Well, dude, I mean, he has...
30-something years.
I don't think
years,
he's been doing...
Isn't it 30-something years he's been...
So, okay, so here's the deal. So. All right, there's the deal. So let me tell you a little bit about Stephen Curtis Chapman. He is the most awarded artist in Christian music history.
Mm-hmm.
This includes an incredible 59 Dove Awards, 7 Artist of the Year trophies, 5 Grammys, 50 number one songs, and over 10 million albums sold. And the dude is from Paducah, Kentucky. You could call
amazing.
Him the George Strait of country of Christian
of
music.
Christian.
I was fixing to say, because my recollection of his stuff to me doesn't sound country.
It was very acoustic guitar driven, so because Steve was an acoustic guitar player himself.
Correct.
But just had so much good music, man. You know, the song that rings out to me is that I remember, you know, Saddle Up Your Horses. I mean, it's just one of my favorites he ever did.
Okay, so maybe, I don't know,
he's not a country artist at all, but, you know.
Yeah, so Grand Ole Opry.
Grand Ole Opry.
Good for
kudos
him.
I mean, to Stephen Curtis Chapman,
course,
brother.
Of course, yes.
Congratulations, my friend. You are phenomenal.
Yeah, no, I've listened to him all my life.
Hey,
yeah.
All I can say is
yes,
he's a member of the Grand Ole Opry, and we are not.
And we are not. And I'm not. Yeah.
No, not.
He's not, and I'm Jimmy.
And I'm Mudbug.
Yeah, and none of us are a member.
No.
I haven't even been to the Grand Ole Opry.
No, I haven't either. I want to go. I have never been.
I think I drove by it once, but it was about
I don't think I've ever driven. I have never. You know what?
I have been
as
there.
As much as
I didn't
love,
see the show.
I love country music and all that. I've never been downtown Nashville. Not once.
Wow.
Memphis, yes. Nashville, no.
Sorry to hear that.
I've been there.
I've been downtown both. Yeah. And
I've been there, but I didn't get to see a show. I got to do some little tour to like just see it real quick and then
basically walk out. There was no show happening when I was there at the time. So
they pointed at the stage and were like, this is where they play.
This is where all those famous artists that they talk about, they go through this list, and they've all played right there. They stood right there. But, you know, it's amazing. It's, you know, history-wise, but it's pretty cool.
Is it kind of like when they take you and you do a tour of the Indianapolis 500? Well, they take you through the curve and they say, you look, see that right there? That's where they turn.
This is where they turn.
That's where they take a left turn.
Yeah. Do you see this line right here? This is where they went across and they won the race.
Have you been to the 500? To the track?
Indianapolis?
Yeah.
No.
No, you haven't?
No. I've been to Texas.
When I was a young man. When I was a baby.
That was back before they paved the track.
I think you guys were there possibly, but Pop and Mom took us to Indianapolis 500.
Wasn't that like in the 17th century or something?
Yeah, pretty much. Anyway, so they take you on a van and they take you around the track, right? And then when they get to the point where the turn is, right, they get you out of the van. We got out of the van and you had to stop and look. And you're looking, and you're actually looking way up.
The uphill.
Because it's a huge incline, man, that corner where they take that corner there.
Isn't it crazy when you look at it on TV, it doesn't seem like it's that steep?
Yeah, not at all.
If you stand there and you look at it, it's like, wow.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's crazy, dude.
Well, on TV, it doesn't look like it's that incline.
Now, don't they do the Brickyard 400 is there too, right? That's at Indianapolis, isn't it? Yeah, that's there at the 500. Yeah, yeah.
That I don't know.
I'm sorry. I'm talking NASCAR now. I apologize. I stopped.
Car-Nass. Come back, Car-Nass.
Think that incline would be crazy. Imagine going to Tennessee.
Boogity, boogity, boogity.
Go to.
You burst your ass. Man, oh, man.
Ricky Bolly.
Boogity, 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 boys. Let's go racing. You remember who said that?
Dear Lord, baby Jesus, play in your golden fleece diaper.
You know who always said that?
That was...
Boogity, 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 boys.
Okay, hang on.
Let's go
racing.
Hang on.
I can see his face, but I can't think of his name right now. Save my life.
I know he's a
he's still an announcer. Well, he's a race car driver. He's an analyst right now.
He's not more, but he's a few-time champion also.
Yeah. He was a race car driver. He drove a race car.
His name is Darrell Waltrip.
Darrell Waltrip. I knew it. Dang it.
Michael Waltrip's big brother, because Michael Waltrip was the guy that trying to be famous.
Their family name comes from some guy who tripped over a wall.
D.W.
Waltrip.
D.W. became famous because he won several championships.
Dude, to tell you how long it's been since I watched racing. When I was watching racing, the people that was racing was Bobby and Al Unser. A.J. Foyt, okay. Hello. Mario Andretti.
Oh, my goodness. That was even back before I even started watching NASCAR.
That's probably back when you was born.
Man, I'm telling you, that was all way early 80s, late 70s when those.
Do you not remember when you were born?
73.
Okay, there you go. I'm sorry, I derailed us again. I didn't.
Derailed.
I apologize.
I didn't really start paying attention to NASCAR until late 80s, early 90s.
That's a cool shirt.
I just saw a frog jump across the stage.
What?
Yeah.
Ribbit.
It jumped.
Where?
Right there.
I think you're alive.
It's over there. We don't need to pick
hey!
The we have crazy. A fan.
Hey, Froggy. How you doing? If you feel froggy, jump, sucker.
Oh. Mosh pit.
Come on with
it. Man, that brings back good memories.
Yeah, mosh pit.
Having a mosh pit.
Yeah. Doing the frog stomp.
Doing the frog stomp. I remember being barefoot.
So I had something. I had something.
Yeah.
This has to do with music and idiots and alcohol. So.
There he goes. There he is. I see him now. Center stage. Anyway.
Pantera.
Yeah.
Y'all know I'm Pantera fan.
You're a Pantera nut.
You're not.
I'm a not. You're a not.
You're not a Pantera fan.
No.
I am definitely.
I like the music.
Bug likes Pantera.
I love Pantera.
Dimebag Darrell.
Yes.
Has been gone away from us for many years now.
Oh, yeah. What, 30 years now?
2005, I believe it was.
Not 30, but like 20
20 years. I thought it was longer than that. So it was about 20 years?
2005. Well, his longtime girlfriend... Man, and I cannot think of her name. All of a sudden, it just went right out of my head.
I remember reading this.
Hanley. I don't remember. Sorry, girl. I forgot your name. Rita Hanley. I believe it is.
Is it Hanley or Hanley?
That's what I don't know how to pronounce it. But her name is Rita. Anyways, okay. Longtime girlfriend. Anyway, has just secured a deal to release a beverage.
Yeah.
And they're releasing whiskey, for one. There, it's like three different things. There's a whiskey, there's a vodka, and then there's a mixed cocktail, if you want to call it
okay.
that. You know, kind of like, I guess, Twisted Tea or
you
whatever.
Want another one?
Yes.
You need another one?
Yeah. I got it. I said two.
So, and it's called Black Tooth Grin.
I saw that. Yeah, Black Tooth Grin.
And evidently, you know, I mean, it's been 100 years ago since I hung out with Dime. And he was a whiskey drinker. He drank a lot of whiskey. Yeah. And back then, so did I.
That was late 90s.
Yeah, early 90s. We drank a lot of whiskey.
A lot.
Well, you know, the Black Tooth Grin was, you know, it derives from several things. But, you know, one of them has to do with one of the songs from Megadeth, you know. And, but Dime's just love for alcohol. And, you know, sharing it with people and having conversations. Because he loved to talk.
Thank you so much.
He loved to drink and communicate.
Right, yeah.
He was that guy. And, but yeah, so look for it. Folks, it's coming out soon. You know, it's not cheap. I can promise you that. I think
Black Tooth Grin.
The whiskey, from what I understand, in the fifth is going to cost $70.
Well, that's actually not too bad. I mean, you know, because the fifth of whiskey is like $55-$60
now. Yeah, I guess
now.
It depends on what you're buying, what you want.
If you're buying trash, it's $35.
Yeah, yeah. But and then there's like a vodka something blend.
Yep.
I don't know exactly what that means because I'm not that kind of person. And it's all called Black Tooth something. You know, it's like Black Tooth Grin, blah 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 whiskey or black whatever.
Okay.
And then there's like this cocktail called the Black Tooth Grin.
That's cool.
And there's like two different flavors, I think, as of right now.
So is it going to be?
But it's actually not today. I believe the introduction to it, you know, is out there. Of course, people know about it, but it's I believe going public on the 20th, which is Dimebag Darrell's birthday.
Oh, okay.
So, August 20th, Dimebag Darrell's birthday, look for the Black Tooth Grin.
Are they tying this into...
Buy
to,
it up, folks.
Are they tying this into Dimebag somehow? With his name on it, or his picture, or his likeness, or whatever?
You know what? I don't remember. I've seen the logo, but now I can't think of it. But Black Tooth Grin has always been a Dimebag Darrell thing. So,
okay.
if you know Dimebag Darrell... Then you know Black Tooth Grin.
Okay, right? Roger that. Gotcha. Good.
So, yeah. But evidently, from what I read an article that had to do with Rita doing an interview with whomever.
Yeah.
And then the guy that she partnered up with to do the blending or the brewing or the distilling.
Okay.
It said that it was something that Dime always wanted. He always wanted to do it. It was something he always wanted to do. He wanted to create a whiskey. He wanted to create these drinks. He thought it would be awesome. And now, what he wanted to name them, it didn't say, but she said it was something he always wanted to do. And, he didn't get an opportunity, of course, because he was busy playing music, and then, you know, he got killed.
Yeah,
but, but in memory of Dimebag Darrell, August 20th, the Black Tooth Grin.
Black Tooth Grin.
I'm going to probably buy a fifth, and it will sit in my cupboard forever. But I will probably buy another one and drink it. And I will drink it by the shot.
I think so. You're going to need one for us to drink while we're there.
Every time I drink one. He was a great dude, great guitar player, and just an awesome individual.
Was a great guitar player, that's for sure.
Awesome individual. Good stuff. Miss him a lot from back in the days. Them's my old school days, by the way.
Old school.
Old school days.
Great
that's
guitar.
That's all I really had for that.
Okay.
I didn't have anything else.
Well, thanks for listening. No, just kidding.
And tune in next time for...
Tune in next time for... We don't know.
And it's Mudbug's turn. He was Googling.
Hi, Mudbug.
Or goggling. What was he doing?
What'd you snorkel?
What'd you snorkel?
What'd you find when you were snorkeling? Anything?
No, I didn't. I was texting myself.
Okay, so we were talking about... Was it last week we were talking about... No, week before last because... I was sick last week. We didn't get to do anything. Anyway, so week before that, we were talking about Bone Tomahawk.
Oh, yeah.
I saw it.
Kurt Russell.
Tomahawk. I saw it.
And you saw it.
I saw it.
What'd you think?
It's...
Kick-ass movie, ain't it?
It's pretty neat, man.
Did you honestly watch the whole...
I watched the whole
thing.
You watched
when they split the dude apart? and when you they went, "Oh my God, why did I watch that?"
Like, yeah, it's like it's
holy shitballs, man! when they turn
the guy upside down and they take the bone tomahawks and they start chopping through his ball section, and it's like, "Oh my!" I couldn't breathe for a minute. I was thinking,
wait, is Quentin Tarantino doing this damn movie?
And then they start ripping from one leg to another, it just rips right in half. Only thing sticking up through the middle of his spinal cord sticking around the middle from his, your butt bones. So you got it just sticking up.
Like what Knott said, I'm going, I don't want to watch it. I want to. I got to watch it. And then I'm going, oh my God, why did I just watch
why
that?
Why did I watch that?
And then the guy,
why in the hell did I just watch that?
And then that
was so awful.
And then that cave Indian creature dude, whatever you want to call this human.
Oh my God.
Walking around with the arm of that dude and chewing on it like he's chewing on a freaking turkey bone.
Did that dude remind you of Eddie from Iron Maiden?
Like he's chewing on a turkey leg. I'm telling you, like he's chewing on a turkey leg and he's walking around, he's looking into the caves and it's like,
turkey.
The one guy did, not the one with the tusks, but the other one. Yeah,
yeah.
He looked like Eddie.
Yeah, I thought that looked like Eddie from the Iron Maiden shows. Lord Jesus, just get me out of here. I'll do anything. Oh my God, Olivia. Oh my God, love you.
That's crazy.
You know, the part that I don't get about that whole movie, or about the story, I should say, not really the movie, but at the end, towards the end, I mean, a few seconds after the whole ripping the guy in half and him spitting his guts out everywhere, or pooping his guts out, whatever you want to call it, when they're sneaking back out of the cave, hoping they don't run into any more, there's the chick laying there that's pregnant, right? The
why
cannibal,
did they not
cannibal
kill
chick,
that
the cannibal chick, right?
She's
got no arms, no legs. She's laying there and she's pregnant,
and she's got those stakes going through her eyes where she can't see. She's just laying there.
But you can tell she's breathing.
That was a disturbing picture as well, y'all.
They just looked at her.
She's alive.
They just looked at her and walked on by.
She's pregnant. Pregnant. Like she's fixing to birth another one of those crazy beans. You know, like
so they could actually make a part two.
Oh my God.
Because they left her living.
Yeah.
Please don't, y'all.
And
just please don't. Out
Bone Tomahawk 2.
Yeah. Bone Tomahawk 2.
Not starring Kurt Russell.
With
because
Kurt Russell's son.
Kurt Russell died in part
does
one.
Does Kurt Russell have a son?
I don't know. And but Kurt Russell died in part one.
Then all the children of Bone Tomahawk run around killing people.
But wait.
Speaking of Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
You had news about Kurt Russell?
Kurt Russell? Yeah. Because I'm a Kurt Russell fan.
And Michelle Pfeiffer.
I'm a Kurt Russell fan from way back in the Walt Disney days.
I am
when
definitely
he was playing in all those stupid Walt Disney movies.
Share with me, please.
You don't remember Kurt Russell in the old Disney movies when he was
the
fastest kid on something?
No,
I don't know. But
it don't even matter.
He's
the main star in Tombstone.
Tombstone. Tombstone. You tell him I'm coming and hell's coming with me.
Hell's coming with me.
So, yeah. Anyway, but yeah, he is.
We just call him Mr. Wise.
There's a new. Yeah. Everybody knows that I'm a Taylor Sheridan fan. Because Taylor Sheridan has done some kick-ass movies and some kick-ass shows like Yellowstone.
Maybe one or two.
1923, triple four sixes.
Maybe one or two, Jimmy.
That movie he did with Jeremy Renner, Wind River. I think it was. Oh, great flick! If you haven't seen it,
The river runs out of water.
Yeah. But if you haven't seen that movie, you need to watch it. It's a great flick. I guarantee you're gonna love it. It's called Wind River.
Wind River. Okay.
Jeremy Renner. He is a.
I like Jeremy Renner.
He is a. What do they call him?
Is that a train?
Game warden.
I hear a train.
Yeah, a train. Yeah, we're downtown Conroe. Hello.
Downtown Conroe, folks.
Table at Madeley. Hear the trains. What was I saying?
Jeremy Renner.
Jeremy Renner. Taylor Sheridan. Yeah. So, Wind River. You need to watch it. Great flick. Man, intense. Yeah, intense. So, good deal. It has some Native American stuff going on in it. It's just a really good movie.
Is Jeremy Renner the same one that plays in that show, Kingstown?
The mayor of Kingstown, yes, and he's also Hawkeye.
That's an amazing show.
He's Hawkeye in
mayor
the Marvel
Kingstown
movies,
cool.
Where he's
yes.
the
yes. I know. So I know. I just make sure I'm the right guy. Yeah.
Mayor Kingstown is awesome. Isn't he the one that begged the writers to kill him off?
Hawkeye. They wanted him to kill him in the MCU movies. He didn't want to do it no more.
Probably. I wouldn't doubt it.
Will y'all just kill me?
He almost killed himself.
Yeah, he did.
Got run over by a damn snowplow. His own snowplow.
I think it was shortly after that when he got ready to
And that wasn't
snowplow.
Even in the movie.
No. That was in personal life.
I don't even think they got it on
he
camera.
He fell out the door and ran over himself.
Mercy. Yeah, Lord have mercy. Anyway, so yeah.
He got crushed. He's in the hospital.
Hey, yeah. So Taylor Sheridan's doing a new show. And it's going to be with Kurt Russell and Michelle Pfeiffer.
Pfeiffer.
And I forgot what the name of the show is now. The Madison.
That's what it's going to be called.
By the way, we were talking about.
I thought they should just call it Michelle Pfeiffer.
Michelle Pfeiffer. The Michelle Pfeiffer effect.
It's still the reason I'm watching.
So we were talking about.
Kind of like that Batman movie. It's like,
yeah.
They should have just exactly called it Catwoman.
Horrible. That was horrible.
And well, with Batman co-starring.
Oh, that was a sucky movie.
They did one and called it Catwoman, but then Halle Berry was doing it.
Yeah.
But that,
and
was,
that was a
too,
sucky
yeah.
movie, too.
Well, they did do a Catwoman.
But no, had great visual effects, though.
visual.
You're so full of crap. You're so full of crap. I forgot where I was going.
The movie might have sucked, but the visuals were great.
Stop it.
Wow. All right, okay. So what was
I
it?
I was going somewhere with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Michelle Pfeiffer, Kurt Russell doing...
I don't remember where I was going with that Madison. Conversation.
The Madison. That's where we were going
yeah,
with
yeah, I already talked about that. I'm looking forward to that show, though. Should be pretty good.
How they booted Matthew McConaughey out of that spot to put Kurt Russell in there.
Yeah, well, I don't think they booted him out of there as much.
Well, they booted him out of that particular spot, but they're supposedly doing another spinoff of that somewhere, and he's going to be on it. But
maybe so, Kurt Russell in this one. Hopefully they'll have a decent soundtrack. That way we can play some of the music.
I know, right?
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Speaking of soundtracks.
The soundtrack.
Did you read the latest about John Moreland, which is... If anybody knows who John Moreland is, he is a red dirt Texas country artist. Big boy. Huge. Man's huge. He's
huge.
And when I say huge, I don't mean huge as in has a lot of music. I mean huge as in he's a big boy.
He's super famous.
He would make me and not look, me and Bug look really, really,
really small. I'm a skinny dude over here.
Okay. The two of us together would not be as big as John Moreland's. But.
Big boy.
Phenomenal guitar player, phenomenal songwriter, and great singer. He and Kyle Nix from Turnpike Troubadours.
Ooh, Turnpike.
Got into a fisticuffs.
Uh-oh, cuffs to fist.
At a Jamie Lynn Wilson show.
What?
Yeah,
when did
man.
This happen? When did this happen?
Not too long ago, a couple weeks ago, I think in Oklahoma.
Why would this guy
Jamie Lynn
fight
so
somebody
big,
as big as
big Jamie
dude.
Lynn fans. Of course, you know, most people who love red dirt music are Jamie Lynn Wilson fans, okay, because the girl's just freaking awesome.
She is really
so good. Like, she's got she's a very really unique voice.
Well you know that, and she ain't ugly.
She's not necessarily a radio friendly voice, I guess. But she's just so she reminds me so much of bluegrass music. That's what I'm trying to.
There you
she's
go.
Very bluegrass. Anyway, I love Jamie Lynn Wilson. They are big Jamie Lynn Wilson fans. Kyle Nix from the Troubadours and John Moreland. So anyway, they're at this show, at the Jamie Lynn Wilson show, and they words were exchanged, and the next thing you know, they get into a fisticuffs fight. And John Moreland had to pretty much say, he said, his exact words were, fuck those guys.
Oh. Ooh, fuck those
guys. And he said, except for, I can't remember who he said for, but one of the guys on the lead singer for Troubadours, he loves him.
Yeah.
He said the rest
he
of them,
like,
fuck
except
them.
That guy.
Except for that guy. Anyway, so yeah, they got into a big old fight at the bar.
Except the bus driver, he's okay.
Except the bus driver, awesome, man. Yeah.
Well, the size of this guy, I bet it took the other three guys.
Have
in
you
the
seen
band
him?
To,
he's a big old boy.
I bet it took the other three guys in the band just to tie up with that big old boy.
John Moore,
like
big old
jelly
boy.
Roll size or bigger than jelly?
Oh, he's probably bigger than jelly roll.
That's a jelly roll. Big old boy.
It'd be like somebody trying to mess with Frank James.
But jelly roll's lost weight.
He's a big old boy.
Yeah, jelly has.
Jelly roll's lost weight.
Yeah, he has. I've been seeing.
He's been trying to slim down a little bit.
Yeah, he's like walking marathons and stuff.
Mm, yeah.
Good
anyway,
for him.
right.
Hey, everybody's got to do what they got to do.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, we're at the table at Madeley.
Yes, we are.
Downtown Conroe.
Can you hear the whistle?
It's the train times out here. For those that don't know, in downtown Conroe used to be the Union Pacific switchyard used to be right here in downtown Conroe. And so we still have the trains that come to the switchyard's not here anymore. It's actually down in deep South Conroe now where I live.
Well, because originally when Conroe was actually here, it wasn't a city name, and it was actually called Conroe Switch.
The Conroe Switch,
and it was only because of Isaac Conroe, which is where the name Conroe, Texas
came from. That's because it was a logging community.
Yes, it was called Conroe Switch from the logging from Isaac.
For all of you who want to keep up with that, y'all can go back and listen to some of the older episodes. Yeah. We discussed that a little bit.
We did.
A long time ago, yeah.
So you're trying to say we should shut up now and just go to a break?
Or you could just go online and you could do what I call internet snorkeling.
Or you could call Frank Jackson.
Or you can come up to or instead of calling Frank, come to the table at Mayday and say, Frank, let's sit down.
Tell me a history.
I want to buy you a beer. Tell me how we met and tell me the history of Conroe.
Let him tell you how he met you first. And then ask him for the history of Conroe. He will definitely give it to you.
And dude, there's a lot of cowboy hats in that room right now.
There is.
That's the purple looking for not.
When you see Frank Jackson, walk up to him and go, hey, Frank, how did I meet you?
Right.
And then when he gets done telling you that, tell him you want to ask him some more questions about Conroe history.
That's right.
We're going to be right back, folks. We are MIA. I'm not Johnny Cash. I'm here with the Big Plush.
Mudbug's over here.
The Mudbug.
The notorious Mudbug.
Nefarious.
Notorious. all the others. So, I mean, whatever.
He's trying to say we'll be back in a minute.
Hopefully y'all can hold on for just a moment and we'll be right back.
Hey, y'all, this is Jim E. Did you know that Texas Radio 1 is listener and sponsor supported? Now, here's what that means. It means we depend on you, the listeners, and some of our generous business supporters to give us the ability to bring you great content like what you're listening to right now. Your support helps to make sure we can continue to bring great Texas country, red dirt, independent country, and much more every day. To find out how you can support Texas Radio 1, give us a call at 936-333-1843 or email jimmy@texasradio1.com. Once again, that's 936-333-1843 or email jimmy@texasradio1.com. Thanks a lot. We have a brand new show that airs right here on Texas Radio 1 every Monday from 3 p.m. until 7 p.m. And it's called Trace Beardos. For those of you who don't know what that means, that is basically our Spanish spin on saying three beards. So it's a podcast that includes it's a radio show that includes myself, not Johnny Cash, and Mudbug. And so we talk about music, we talk about different things, and we play a bunch of great Texas country. You never know what you're going to hear. We interview artists. We do all kinds of stuff. It's a great show every Monday right here on Texas Radio 1 from 3 p.m. until 7 p.m. And if you don't happen to be near a computer, if you live in the Conroe area, you can also hear it on Lone Star Radio. That's right. It's also on Lone Star Radio at the same time at 104.5 and 106.1 at 3 p.m. So that's from 3 p.m. until 7 p.m. So be sure and if you check out the show, be sure and let us know what you think about the show. You can email the three beards and the Trace Beardos at tracebeardos@gmail.com. So be sure and check out the show. We look forward to having you there and listen to the insane madness that is the three beards of Texas Radio 1. Be sure and check it out. I'm sure you'll like
it. Kick it. All right, folks, I'm not Johnny Cash, and we are back after a short little break. This is MIA, Music, Idiots, and Alcohol, and I'm here with the Big Plush.
That's me.
Jimmy E. And Mudbug. And
Notorious Mudbug.
Nefarious.
Nefarious. Whichever. All of the above.
But we did manage to ground up.
The incomparable.
The incomparable. Frank Jackson.
Frank the Crick, live in front of your naked, burning, steaming ears in downtown Conroe, high atop of the basement on the seventh floor.
We did manage to wrangle him up out here, folks. He's got a lot of crowd inside the bar, and we're outside, of course. So
big because, political party in there talking to him.
So. We are segregated. He keeps the riffraff outside.
Over here. Yeah, exactly. Keep the riffraffs outside.
Right where we like it. Close to the emergency exit.
Yeah. Hey, and just so y'all know, you notice where Frank Jackson's at. He's out here with the riffraffs.
I feel right at home here, boys. Yeah. Right.
What'd he do? Bring all the politicians in. He comes out here with us. I'm just kidding. They're all great. But
we're all politicians, really, at
just
the end of the day.
Yeah, a little bit.
I prefer to be outside anyway. It makes it easier to pee.
Yeah. We have some beautiful oak trees here, by the way. Speaking of peeing. When we before we developed the table, the first thing I did after we cleaned the property was trim the trees up because they were all dragging the ground.
Yeah.
And they're heritage oaks, probably over in between 100 and 150 years old. And so I started injecting them. And then we come check on the property all the time because that's a dreamer. You know, you went like, oh, man, one of these days I'm going to have a stage right there, man.
Yeah.
And they're going to do podcast on that stage. We're going to talk about nothing. But, absolutely, man, we're going to make it sound compelling.
Can't wait. Texas Radio 1's going to be right there. That's what he did all this for.
These homeless people because they're on the Trail of Tears, I call it, which is from Salvation Army.
Yeah.
Over there off of Avenue A or whatever, the first street. All the way to McDonald's. That's the Trail of Tears, I call it, because they walk all the way through here over there. They either go behind the shopping center or they go down 105.
That's because they haven't put a sidewalk over here yet.
And I catch them stashing their stuff behind my bed sheet. And then the day I found the big pile of dung, it was over.
Oh, my.
I turned my redneck roots on full bull.
That's when you
said, hey, Buck. What are you doing, man? One of these days I'm going to be serving food here and you're taking a shit on my property.
Is that when you built the privacy fence?
No, you know, it was originally there. Part of that was originally part of the original property, and I just replaced it when we developed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
But it was here, so it was easy for them to hide behind that big tree over there where the chair is.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
It was piled halfway, about 5 feet up, full of trash and dung when I bought the property and cleaned it out.
Yeah.
And then I would find their stuff stashed there, and every time I just throw it away, move it around, you know. Save a storage place. Yeah.
And they didn't come get mad at you because you stole their stuff?
I don't care. I was a psycho white guy after that. They stayed away from me.
See what you did?
Luckily, we've been pretty good lately since we've been going.
You were messing with our biggest supporters when you did that.
Supporters have to fund you.
Right, yeah.
You were saying about the crazy white guy. My mother actually became the crazy white-haired lady.
Yeah,
at where I live now, yeah, because she got tired of people making too much noise in the middle of the night while she was trying to sleep, so she would go outside and shoot her 45 into the air. So
and that neighborhood is like, they said, don't mess with the crazy white. that neighborhood got the point. Don't mess with the crazy white-haired lady.
So she became the crazy white-haired lady, and the neighbor was like, after that, anybody that moves in or comes around, it's like, y'all just don't do this and don't do that, and beware of the crazy white-haired lady. don't piss her off.
Good tradition here. Yeah, don't piss crazy her white off. Lady. You could have called like crazy bearded lady and turned tranny. Yeah,
I'm still not comfortable in a skirt. I'm sorry.
You just need a good pair of boxers.
Exactly.
Just go out there in your kilt.
What do they call
Come on, not go out there in your kilt. You got it.
Oh, yeah, you're killed that way. You can casually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just stretch it out.
Yeah. I don't know.
No,
don't
thank
know.
You.
I don't know.
No, thank you.
Now we know why they call it MIA.
Yeah, well, you know, he's from out there in Cut and Shoot. I don't think they even have running water and stuff out there, so he just.
Yeah. People from Cut and Shoot created running water.
Yeah, got a lot of 5 gallon buckets too.
Yeah, 5 gallon buckets.
Yeah, they run over to the neighbor's property to get some running water.
from the creek that's running by us.
Yeah, Frank, you're real funny. Where's that mute button?
I can see we're off to a great start after the intermission. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the MIA. Yeah.
That's right.
Stories of Cut and Shoot, Texas.
Cut and Shoot,
Texas. We came back on the second one with a whole lot of the idiot part.
thanks to Frank Show. There we go.
Well, you're welcome.
We started off with movies, music, idiots, and alcohol, and now we just went to idiot.
We fast forwarded, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, man, we just went right past it.
With a capital I.
God. Yeah. Oh, Lord.
You always have to capitalize.
Oh, my God.
This is a capitalist country, so we do capitalize whenever we can.
Yes, we can.
Please send all your money to not Johnny Cash.
ConroeTable.com /order.
Oh, man. I knew we were going to have to arm wrestle about all this.
So, Frank, how long you guys been open out here now?
The Table at Madeley, we opened April 6, 2022.
All right, cool.
So, just over 2 years now, and we're up and running, and things are going well.
That's awesome.
We have a live music every Friday, Saturday, and Sundays. A lot of open mic and opportunities for bands and individuals to come in and show us their talent and what they have on Sundays.
Which
we do
is
that.
Amazing. We were here. That's probably one of the first times that Jimmy and I came here was on a Sunday.
Open mic. Yeah.
Was an open mic deal. We came in for...
You had the Kimbros.
The Kimbros.
And then Reno Connor was here that day.
Yeah. Which is phenomenal. That guy's,
yes,
that guy's
so
doing
good.
Really well right now. But yeah, we were here, and that was the first. Well, right, actually, Jimmy ended up leaving. I hung out for a little bit longer, and that was the first night I met you, or day, I should say. It was in the middle of the day. Mm-hmm. But that's a very cool experience with the open mic.
I just like Sunday. To provide an opportunity for people to play, and the ones that don't. Have an opportunity to go gig and do stuff yet that have a dream and want to do it. We got a big, beautiful stage. Why not invite them here on a Sunday afternoon when people can sit, drink, listen, and kick back and see, you know, you never know who you're going to see here. That we've had a lot of different people come and play on Sundays.
That puts them out there in front of people, gets them that a little bit of experience in front of
the start
point. Even if it's a small crowd or a big crowd, it doesn't matter.
It's very experience. Interesting seeing all these people, the younger ones come, because it's one thing to sing in your bedroom in front of your phone.
Yeah.
It's another thing to sing on stage with a microphone and a monitor.
In front of crowd.
And in front of house speakers. Right. Everything sounds different. It's weird. It's, you know, you can really hear yourself now, and you're like, oh, my God, that doesn't sound me. And so it's really...
It don't sound like me in my bathroom.
It's interesting to watch people and see growth, but that's really what I'm into. I want to see people in my whole career and working with artists and musicians for almost 30 years now. Be good to me on the way up, because I'm going to see you on the way down. What this is like a lesson of that at the beginning stages of what they're doing, you know, learning how to talk to a crowd, even if it's 15 people or 300.
Right.
Go ahead and share a little bit of that with you, with us, or with the listeners, because you are part of Smith.
Smith Music Group. I've been with Smith Music Group since 2003. I've worked, we started Smith Entertainment, which was a licensing division of Smith Music Group. Smith Music Group owns the Live at Billy Bob's.
Right, the Live at Billy Bob's albums or whatever you call
it. It's basically...
releases.
Yeah, and so that was my responsibility with Smith. I signed a bunch of those records and the artist, and basically they're one record deals for a live album. It's basically greatest hits live. Is what we really try to accomplish with that. We wanted to basically take a snapshot, if you will, of the artist's career at that particular moment in time. The very first person we recorded in 1998 was Pat Green.
Yeah. I remember you and I were talking about that.
That kind of worked out pretty good, I'd say.
Quite a while back.
Pat Green's amazing. Yeah. I love Pat Green.
But this was in 1998 when no one really knew who Pat was. And we needed to test our equipment because we were about to record Merle Haggard on December 31st of that year. And Merle was like the first release we put out, because no one knew who Pat was, right? And we want to launch our label and our series of stuff. So now we've got a...
and here we are,
I think we've done
30 years later?
No,
25
years, and we've done, I think, 55 Live at Billy Bob's.
Golly.
It's amazing. So that's a very long running series of albums.
Yes, and so I've always had the pleasure and the honor of meeting all these people at the earlier in the career. And so, like I'd say, I joke with them that meet me, you know, be good to me on the way up, because I'll see you on the way down. But it's really true.
Yeah.
And you see people come and go, But what's great is we have the opportunity to help them at that particular moment in time. And, you know, and some may forget about what we did, and, you know, it probably didn't really mean much at the end of the day, but they were still going to be destined to do what they were going to do anyway.
Yeah,
but
right.
It sure was cool being on the fly on the wall and watching it all.
Right.
And,
you know, and that's cool, man.
Having all these memories and friendships and relationships that came from it over the years. But, yeah, it's been a huge blessing. So, yeah, with Smith Music, I've been doing that for a long time. And that's kind of why we started the table, is because of my relationship with the artist, to be able to get some good quality original music acts in here and try to bring some good talent to this market, if
that's
you will.
Cool. To right here at downtown Conroe. Yeah.
To an area that's still trying to grow. It's a nightlife, I should say. Nightlife and music scene and all that.
Yeah.
Trying to steal the limelight from places that want to be awesome, like Austin and... which used to be, what, music capital of the world.
They Austin, point, there for a long time, was called, you know, the live music capital of the world, you know. Right. So, yeah.
Now, we're not quite there, no. Not even close, but it would be nice. It would be nice to have that right here in Conroe. And this is a great little stage, you know, great, not little stage, it's actually a big stage.
It's awesome.
It's 24 by 20.
Yeah. It's a big stage.
Well, we folded it in half for you tonight. So yeah, we only used it 24 by 10.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't need the sound thing.
Yeah. Take it. We were allowed a quarter of the stage tonight.
You guys keep showing up. You know, we might open up the curtains for you one day.
Yeah. Really good, I was like, might actually open really the curtains where people see we're here.
Yeah. Next week, I'm bringing a backdrop.
If you work your cards right, we can do this on a weekend when people actually care to come watch you.
I tried to get Mike. I told Mike, I was like, hey, so if anybody wants to know if there's an admission, just tell them yes.
Yeah.
I'm like, and whatever they give you is okay.
He's really smart, but
he just laughed at me and walked away.
He's really smart.
That's what I said. He was real smart. He was real smart about
nice
it. He just
guy,
laughed
though.
And walked away.
Yeah.
Super nice guy. But yeah, I was thinking that'd be great, you know, if somebody wanted to pay admission.
Yeah.
That would be cool. We see.
So anyway, that's how that's how Smith Music started, was live at Billy Bob's, and then I helped expand it with the distribution of Smith Entertainment. And in 2000, it was 2000, actually, the day that George Bush and Gore ran for president in November of 2000, me, Katie Key, Ed, and Pam Shane, who had the Shane Media, who created the Texas Music Chart, we all created that together, because it was really me going to them as a distribution, going, hey, these guys are playing everywhere, they're doing great, but there's no radio play. You know, these people are playing them, but no one's really documenting it because it's on these stations that aren't sexy.
Yeah,
right. Tertiary and secondary stations.
That'd be
and
us,
that was really the birth.
That'd be us. We're not sexy at all.
Yeah, well, that's look what we've evolved to, ladies. I'm sorry. I'd like to apologize in advance.
I don't know if you ask me. I think
26
we're
years
sexy,
later, I'm sorry, humanity, for this, but it was really a great platform. It really brought focus to independent Texas music culture, if you will, Red Dirt.
Red Dirt.
And it doesn't mean you have to be from Texas to us. When we first started the Texas Music Chart, and it was really about identifying, there's no boundaries, but there's borders. And that we meant that the bands wanted to be authentic. They wanted to write their own songs. They wanted their buddies to play in the band with them that wrote the songs and record with them.
Exactly.
And that was the spirit of really Waylon and Willen.
Yeah.
Well, independent.
So to me, it's just our second generation of the outlaw movement.
Yeah. Yes.
It's kind of what happened in the late 90s. I would say it started probably in the mid 90s with Robert Earl Keane and Jack Ingram, and then Charlie Robinson and Bruce.
Right.
And then Pat and Corey, and then, you know, just kind of snowballed from there. And so I don't know really how it happened, guys. It was just like I happened to be at the right place at the right time, and being able to exploit these guys and give them the opportunity to bring their music and make them relevant at retail. At the time, it was very difficult for a country artist or independent, whatever you want to call it, because really at the end of the day, it was country.
Right. Right? Yeah.
You can say Texas, Red Dirt, rockers.
Yeah.
But there's only like five genres, right?
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
Rap, there's pop, there's country, gospel, you know.
Yeah.
Rock. and then there's everything else. And so they were really part of the country genre. And so I had worked with Shane Mina. Once we had the chart, we created a magazine that brought focus to it. And then I distributed those magazines to all the retailers that we were shipping product to, because back then it wasn't digital at all. There was no streaming. Yeah. There was no downloads. There was Napster. But that was it. And that was an illegal form of revenue. And we were battling that tremendously, really, as in the record industry. Yeah. You're sitting there going, oh, what the hell's next, you know?
Yeah.
Well, now we know.
Yeah.
Now we know what's next.
Yeah. That was 20 years ago, however long it was. And so we just gave focus to those guys, and that's what really launched all that. And look what came after it, man. You got like 30 or 40 radio promoters trying to save every artist's life. Yeah. One spin at a time, ladies and gentlemen. Give me $5,000 a month and you can have your music emailed to a radio station that
we've heard that a lot.
Email, but yeah,
I don't understand that portion of it.
You have the opportunity to be number one on the Texas Triple R chart, which really is good.
Yeah, it's amazing.
For your career.
Yeah, it's amazing.
For them.
It created new jobs. That's what it did. Created new jobs.
Job creation.
Yeah.
Job creation. Not a politician now, right?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure, man.
They're full of it, right?
So I keep looking at this the sign right behind Mudbug here. It says, "Bring your songs to the table at Madeley."
Correct.
Music, food, foodie, actually says foodie, and family. But I like the bottom line. It says a singer songwriter showcase.
Correct.
That's the thing on Sunday, right? Is that the
It's really everything
or
I do
is it
every
just
weekend.
Every
yeah,
time,
well, because
every.
I'm trying to book and bring in talent that want to be original artists. I don't bring tribute bands here. I'm not interested in that. Not that I'm against them playing or whatever, but I think they can go see that at Yard House. They can go see that at Red Brick. They can go see it at Corner Pub.
I do understand tribute bands, but it's not as as a live music venue. I'd rather go see a person with their own independent.
Let's see what they have. You know, lift up your skirt and show me what you got
Show me what you got.
Let me, you know, do they suck? Are they good? Is your vocals fantastic? Are they captivating?
Yeah.
Can you tell a story in between your songs that keep me from talking to my neighbor and listening to you as I suck down my favorite beverage at the table? Who knows?
Yeah.
That's
really
what I'm looking for. Everybody else plays all the other stuff, so why not be different? I want to be different.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think it's awesome. Like I said, that sign keeps catching my attention, and I keep reading it over and over. A singer songwriter showcase.
Yeah.
And that's really what we do every weekend, you know. Some are better than others. We don't judge people. We just give them the opportunity to play, and I guess we could drum it in the night if we made any money or not, if we sold any booze.
I wouldn't tell anybody.
Well, I always tell the artists when they play, you're not really here to play your songs. I want you to know you're actually a beverage salesperson tonight. And that's your real job.
We brought you here to sell our alcohol.
You got to sell.
Come on. Make me famous.
Be a salesman.
The more alcohol I sell tonight, the sooner you get to come back.
Trust me, don't think I don't have a scorecard of every person's ever played on this property.
Oh, I bet.
I can tell you anybody that's played here, how much beer they sold, how many chips they were given that night,
Frank, like you're saying, as the artist coming here, you can sell your merchandise, but make sure they come and buy my merchandise.
Well, I tell artists all the time, and that's why I do my deals the way I do. There's no guarantees at the table. I don't need you to play to my customers. I need you to bring your own.
That's really
a reality that, quite frankly, they should embrace if they want to be successful artists in the future. Because someone's willing to pay you to show up,
you promote
doesn't mean
you
earned it, and
you promote you.
But when you do that, then you're in a situation like Parker McCollum was and Cody Johnson, when you dictate what your record deal is, not the guy behind the desk.
Exactly.
There you go.
Excuse me, sir. I can generate $1 million on my own.
Yeah.
Why do I need you?
Yeah.
Hence the reason why they are where they are.
We're going to make you $150 million. You go, okay. Well, then that's
it's a little different.
What you need?
Where do I sign?
What restroom am I supposed to piss in?
But that's how it really all starts. Co was in the same position.
Like, by the way, I'm opening for George Strait next week.
If you control and have an audience on your own without a major label.
Yeah.
When the majors come, you're in much better position to succeed.
It's all about you then,
Well, so you get the share more of the revenue, and before they'll take all your revenue. If you're nobody, they're going to take everything. You're not going to make any money. You'll die in recoupment hell.
Yeah.
and people know what recoupment means. Yeah. It means everything that was spent on the projects is paid for before you get your royalty.
That's true. Yeah.
Then you pay for it out of the percentage of whatever royalty you,
right.
it is. So.
Exactly.
Yeah. You can pay for 100% of the expenses with 10% of the revenue.
Then you get paid. And this half of MIA brought to you by Music Industry 101. Yeah.
Then you get paid like you put something out on YouTube. Yeah.
Yeah. Dewey Cheatham and Howell. Music recording. Right? You can sign up at DeweyCheatham.com.
Yeah, and Frank will get right back to you.
Yes.
Just kidding.
Oh, my gosh.
Just kidding.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, I think we're just about out of time.
Yeah.
So, Colonel Cluck over here is going to sign us out.
We don't get paid overtime on this game.
No, man. Overtime.
I don't even get paid regular time.
I will say one thing, though, but thanks a lot, Frank, for sitting in with us, because you're actually the very first sit in and talking with us on our MIA podcast, because I don't believe we have.
Oh, is it really?
Well, I've
we haven't
that,
we haven't had anybody haven't else sit with us on the MIA. You're the
right.
first one. You're the very first one to sit in.
Yes,
Frank is our first official guest
on the MIA podcast.
God dang! Mm-hmm. Congratulations, Frank.
Yeah. Well, it's my honor, gentlemen.
Frank,
to
Jackson,
accept
you lied. Says how awesome you are. Is it
dumbass?
We waited until a specific time for the most important dumbass ever.
You really set me up good here.
Oh my gosh!
I'm honored to be a recipient of this award. And we hope
now we have
you get the empty Twisted Tea.
I would gladly present
it's brought to you by Twisted Tea.
I would gladly present you with this empty bottle of Twisted Tea.
I love this. Thank you.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you want me to autograph that for you?
No, we don't. Allison, thank you so much. We'd like to thank Allison. Allison's been awesome.
Allison's awesome. So when you're here, order all your beer from her.
Would you come make sure you see Allison?
No, I'm good.
She's
thank
great.
You, baby.
Allison Steven, no one's better than AS right there.
Man, so we've been out here at the table at Madeley in the lovely city of Conroe, Texas, downtown. And, been great. Thanks, Frank, for letting us hang out here. We appreciate it very, very much.
I hope I didn't ruin your algorithm.
No, man, you're good. So if you ever get the... If you've never been to the table at Madeley, you need to get your ass over here, because this is a great place to hang out. Now, you guys are open Tuesday through...
No, we're open Wednesday through Sunday.
Wednesday through Sunday.
Yeah, and we're open for lunch during the week at 11 a.m.
Okay.
And then during the week, we close at 9, and on the weekends, we close at 10. But when we say we close at 10, that's really when the food trucks don't cook anymore.
Yeah.
If we have tabs rolling and people are drinking, the music's going, we keep going.
All right.
Legally until midnight.
There you go.
And then on Sundays, we're open at noon to 6. Sunday's a great opportunity for any artist or aspiring singer, songwriter, or musician that would like to come up and try their talent. They can do it judgment-free here at the table, and we have all the equipment. All they have to do is show up and bring their guitar cord.
And doesn't that start, at like noon, right?
Noon to 6, bro. But that usually starts about 1 o'clock when we do that.
Okay.
We run through 6. Yes.
I think you get here early.
Yeah.
Get here early.
So that's really cool. That's
I've been
good.
I've been here for a few of those. It's really awesome, because that is like how we met.
That's how we met you. Yeah, at one of those.
That's how we met Frank, but it's also how we met...
Reno Connor.
The Kimbros. Give me
some other folks.
Reno Connor's got some stuff out right now, which we are playing. We do like it. I don't know if you've heard it, Frank. You probably don't listen to Texas Radio 1, because I know you don't like us a whole lot.
I do a battle of trying not to listen to my own head. That's a 24-hour job. And in between, I might listen to that for like 2 seconds. But I'm not going to hear and tell you that I do.
Is that kind of like,
I'm having a hard time.
Is that kind of like when you buy one of them new 8-tracks and you push that button and it goes to the next track, the next track, the next track?
That's it, right? You missed half the song, but man, was it good.
I'll tell you, the only other thing is, remember when you come in, anybody come in here and come visit, Frank, you come visit at the table.
Yes.
Anyway, when you come here, remember what we always tell everybody, you come here, make sure you see Frank and ask him how you met. Because that way Frank can take.
Now
you gave it away. We've been telling everybody for weeks, when you go there, make sure you ask Frank how you met him. He'll tell you how y'all met.
That's exactly right.
He'll tell you how y'all met.
Honest. I like to be sincere with you guys. I don't want to BS you.
No, it's good time.
BS all day, every day. All you do is turn the radio, podcast, or your phone on to the TV, and you see plenty of that. I want to give you some authenticity.
How do we say that?
How in the hell do you spell that, Frank?
Don't ask me. I'm a Conroe Independent School District graduate from Oak Ridge High School. So, it's not my fault, but so, they got rid of me and graduated.
He doesn't know because it was written in cursive.
Yeah. I do know cursive well, but I was kicked out of music theory in high school, and I never looked back.
He must have graduated before the high school and the junior high separated.
All right, folks.
I'm not Johnny Cash. Like I said, I'm here with the big plus Jimmy E. Mudbug. And the
Frank
great Mr. Frank Jackson from the Table of Made Late. We will see you. Or no, we're not going to see you. But we'll talk to y'all later.
You'll catch us
Come
next
back
time.
And join us.
Bye, y'all.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Bye.
This has been a Texas Radio 1 podcast. For more information, visit TexasRadio1.com.